When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the No Bad Dogs podcast with me, Tom Davis, America's Canine Educator, the podcast where we love, live, and of course, work with dogs. So today I'm going to do something I haven't done before, which I recorded audio from one of my online clients' training session. She was having issues with her collies or one of her collies reacting on the leash. And so I basically had recorded the entire conversation. It's actually pretty informative, so it's like any other session that I've done, except I've never actually done audio sessions. So it's pretty informative. I cut out any jargon and things that weren't that topic-based, so you guys can really enjoy the full thing from start to finish. And I hope that you enjoy it. And if you do, let me know. Send me a message on Instagram at Tom Davis, or you could just rate it in the whatever podcast platform that you have, and let me know what you think. Because if you guys like this stuff, I'll continue, and I have a lot of online clients, so I can record a lot more. So thank you guys for listening, and this is one of my clients from Cincinnati. Hello, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Just trying to figure out how to FaceTime.
Did you figure it out?
Well, I'm on here. I see you.
Yeah, I can see you too.
Okay.
Good.
Well, my name's Karen.
Hey, Karen. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. I have two rough collies. I'm just not very good at this at all. That makes me go away even more, doesn't it? God. Oh, my daughter tells
That's
me.
That's good. There you go.
Okay. My daughter tells me I suck at FaceTime. So anyway, I have two rough collies. And I just want to tell you that what made me pick up the phone and call you is that I've looked, you know, on YouTube, new to YouTube. I thought YouTube was for, I don't know, kitten videos and porn. I mean, that's what I thought it was for. But anyway, I looked, and you had a video that you posted in October of 2017, mm-hmm. where you compared a Chevy truck mechanic to a Ford truck mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Chevy whose name is Cisco, and I have a Ford and his name is Ranger. And okay. I have been taking him to a Chevy place.
Right.
Which I have made a change, mainly because he was kicked out of class. But anyway.
Cisco and what's the other dog's name?
Ranger.
Ranger? Okay.
Ranger's 5. Cisco is 3. And they are both rough collies.
Okay. So explain to me a little bit about what's going on.
Okay. Well, the main problem with Ranger, and I'm hoping if this problem is corrected, other things will, you know, kind of fall into place, is that he is very, very leash reactive when we go to a walk in a park. Especially in a park.
Mm-hmm.
We're on a trail. Another dog is coming. He just goes all Cujo. I didn't realize how young you were. You probably don't know who Cujo is.
I do. I have a St. Bernard. So I know a lot about Stephen King.
Okay. So you get all the Beethoven jokes. Mm-hmm. I get all the Beethoven jokes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I was just really kind of impressed. I don't know what kind of sorcery. Have you read you have like a Rosetta Bone program mm-hmm. you've tried to learn how to talk to these dogs? Chasing cars is a problem.
Mm.
I mean, I've worked on it, tried. I mean, I want to chase the damn cars by now. I'm just, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, so they're reactive on the leash to specifically dogs or everything? Or
no, dogs. Dogs, sometimes sometimes trucks. I'm on the phone, Jerry. Oh, I can't talk to you for about an hour. Just leave me alone. Mm-hmm. Oh, you weren't going to talk to me. Oh, okay. it's mainly dogs, sometimes cars, but not as much. Very, very people friendly. He has never been in a fight. Hi Ranger. And he's never bitten anybody. He's very, very people friendly, very, very good with kids.
Yeah.
It's mainly just dogs. Now, he has been kind of attacked himself. I don't know, in this dog class I was going to, there was an Angolan Shepherd, there was a female Rottie, there was a female, you may want to leave Ranger up here. Ranger, come here. Come here. Down. Good boy. So he has kind of been attacked. He's even been attacked by one of my son's dogs. We have a lot of herding breed in our family. Each of my kids have two dogs. One has two cattle dogs. The other one has two cattle dogs, a border collie, Australian Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he is frequently around my brother-in-law's Siberian Husky. Mm-hmm. Alaskan Malamute, no problems. The only problem that we have with the dogs is my son's red heeler has definitely got some problems. Has bitten Ranger, come away with a bunch of white fur, you know, in his mouth. So mm-hmm. It didn't, you know, happens once,
right?
You know, happens twice, shame on me. So that just isn't allowed anymore.
So your main concern with both of them is when you're out on a walk and they're reactive to cars passing?
Cisco is not. Cisco is good, okay? It's just Ranger.
Okay. So Ranger is reactive to cars, dogs, anything else?
Nothing.
Okay.
I mean,
so,
he's good.
So right now, with Ranger, when you're out on your walk, what are you doing to try to correct the behavior?
First of all, I have a Herm Springer 2.25.
Perfect.
Stainless steel prong collar. I have a good 6-foot leather leash that you can see is well worn.
Perfect.
And I fit this right behind his neck.
Good.
Right behind his ears. And I get the concept. Now, when we are on a structured walk,
mm-hmm.
this has made a 95% difference.
Right.
I get it where I just hold it in my left hand, almost like it's on a plate, and I just barely have to use my ring finger and my pinky finger just to put gentle pressure,
mm-hmm.
no jerking or anything, when we're on a structured walk to get him to heal. I can move around when we're in a park. I make him jump up on rocks to go over swing sets.
Good.
We weave in and out between trees. I have this little thing where I walk the alphabet to make him, you know, go around with me.
Good. And that's what you mean by structured. You're going out and you're doing stuff. Yep. It's
yeah.
Good.
There's no, cause I do go to, I go to rally classes. Here's my little rally book.
Cool. Yeah, that makes things fun.
Which is actually put out by some woman who trained St. Bernards in California.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's a St. Bernard rescue. Her dogs are Hummer and Tundra. One's won 107 performance titles. So anyway, we do that.
That's good. So it sounds like you're doing everything right. You have the right equipment. Sounds like you know what you're doing, which is a step ahead. So right now, explain to me, when you see another dog, what's happening?
Okay. When I see another dog, I do not just go away. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When I see another dog and I know one is coming, as long as I think that dog is okay, long as it's not like a you know, 150-pound Great Dane on a flex leash. Right. We go toward the scary thing for a few seconds. We turn around and walk away from the scary thing. I do not make him just sit. I tell the other owner, just keep walking past us. Don't sit. Don't stop. Yeah. Don't tell me how pretty my dog is. Don't ask to pet. Don't give me any lassie stories. Just keep walking.
Right.
That's what we try to do.
Good.
And he barks very loudly, pulls, and then when we get past the dog, you know, then that's pretty much it.
I want to kind of rewind just a little bit. So when you're out on your walk, it sounds like you're doing everything good, which is awesome. You're going forward, you're disengaging, you're going back and forth to try to stop the reactivity. And
right.
How bad is it? I mean, is he barking, lunging, growling? What's happening?
He doesn't growl. He barks.
Okay.
You can kind of see his eyes fixate on something.
Sure.
Fixate on the dog. I can't really tell exactly what his tail's doing because he's an 80 pound. He's a very large collie.
Okay.
So but his tail does curl up, and he just barks and pulls. Wouldn't even say lunge. He pulls.
So during that time, you have a heel command. It sounds like, right?
Yes, I've got pretty good basic obedience, and yes.
So he completely just decides
he's not paying attention to me, and I don't use food during those
right.
Encounters.
Right. So he's completely disengaging from you and not paying attention.
Right.
What I would suggest is practicing, and you have both dogs with you, is that correct?
No, I only walk one dog at a time.
Good.
Because when they're both together, all they do is pay attention to each other.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm out, you know, trying to work on a lesson from dog class or whatever we're doing, I take one at a time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good idea. So what I would do is go out and does it depend on the other dog or is it every single time? It's reactivity every time.
It's when we're on a walk. On a trail and another dog is coming toward us, it's pretty much every single time.
Okay.
He's also very reactive to dogs that are just on TV. You have no idea. I can't watch a Westminster show or anything, you know. He's very reactive to what's on TV.
Yeah.
No sound. It's just a picture, you know.
Right. So when you are walking towards the dog and Ranger starts to react, what type of correction are you delivering to disengage, and what are you saying to him when this happens?
Well, when I first see him looking at another dog, I mean, if it's just like general curiosity, like, you know, looking all around, but if I see him, you know, fixating on another dog, I put pressure
the prong collar.
Yeah, like the prong collar. I put it so the D ring is like this. So when I correct him, you know, it's this way. So I put pressure on the leash and I say, leave it.
Okay. Now that pressure, is it slow and steady?
Slow, steady. I don't go like this.
Okay.
I pull on it like this. Now, when he pulls, I mean, that's when there's the most pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe when, he's barking and going nuts, I probably am pulling on it too, just because he's 80 pounds and I'm trying to make sure, you know, we just get past the other dog.
Yeah. So what I would do actually is, interesting concept. So I'm trying to find some sort of... because it sounds like everything that you're doing is perfect, Karen, to be honest, but I'm trying to find some sort of loophole that is the factor of like why the reactivity continues to happen. And I think that the correction that you're giving is that. And so in my experience, you have like the perfect setup. You have a nice leather leash. You have the 2.25 prong collar. And what that prong collar does, as you know, is when it comes up and it delivers that correction. These prongs are uncomfortable, but they're not uncomfortable to a point where the dog's going to disengage completely when the pressure just is applied a little bit.
Okay.
So I tell my clients all the time that, like what you just did with that prong collar, is if you take it and you extend it all the way out and you pull that half D-ring out and your prong collar is fully extended, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then you can't get a correction after that because it's the mechanics of the prong collar. So you take the half D-ring, you pull it all the way out till it can't basically slide anymore with the chain. And then at that moment, you can't apply any more correction to the dog. They can just pull right through it. So what happens is they basically say, okay, I'm at the end of the prong. I'm just going to keep pushing through it. Because if your dog has any type of coat, then they're going to, right? So they're going to pull right through it. So that pressure is really not a correction. It kind of turns into a flat collar because the prongs are, you know, they're not sharp, they're rounded. So even on my skin, like if I put it on my neck and I just push forward and somebody holds the other end, it doesn't apply a correction. It just applies pressure. And in a dog, if they have really deep coats, it's the same appliance as a flat collar.
Okay.
Which won't disengage the dog. So the good thing is that's the, you're doing everything perfect, but the good thing is that's probably one of the main reasons why your dog's not deactivating off of the reactivity, because okay. The correction you're providing isn't enough to, or isn't anything to disengage the dog.
So when I give that prong collar a pop,
right,
which is what I try to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty much.
Yeah. So I can tell you that, the majority, and the good thing about doing these online stuff is, I didn't always do online stuff. I worked in my facility for a long time. So I have statistics in my brain of like what's happening and what dog owners typically will do, which gives you the benefit of the doubt because, that's really what I'm here for, is to give you my experiences and what's worked and what hasn't worked. And that's one of the hardest things that dog owners have a problem with, is applying the right correction at the right time.
Okay.
And that can go so many different ways, and there's a lot of variables to that, because that's one of the main reasons why a lot of, let's say, one-dimensional dog trainers or new dog trainers who don't like using aversive tools or any tools in general, that's one disadvantage that we have as balanced dog trainers or people who actually take advantage of equipment, is if you don't do it right, you can either, there's two things that'll happen, is it'll make it worse or it won't do anything at all. And then you become frustrated and then you go out of your way to maybe do something different that isn't the right thing to do. So when you're doing that correction, you basically want to get the dog's attention and you want to correct the dog out of the behavior. So on my recent YouTube video, I believe, I at the end of my video, I pull out a chair and I put a leash on the chair and I show people the differences between the right way and not necessarily the wrong way, but the not effective way to correct a dog with any type of collar. Even if you're using a flat collar or even a harness, it doesn't matter. So, and that's a really good point, is like, it doesn't matter what collar you're using when you're using a physical collar, because the only thing I would say this wouldn't apply to is the e-collar, obviously, because you're not connected to anything. But every other correction that you give on any equipment, whether it's flat collar, harness, slip collar, martingale, prong collar, whatever, the pop is what you're trying to do to disengage the dog. So think about it, the difference between pulling the dog away, which is, it sounds like what you're doing is you're kind of just click, 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 click. And then there's no more clicks to be had. So it's fully extended. And then you're kind of dragging the dog away or whatever, which is, it's okay to do. It's just not going to be that effective because, again, think about it. If you have even, I can correct a dog on a harness this way. And what you do is, that's what you want to think about, is what kind of correction I could give a dog on a harness. Well, you'd have to be really fast and you'd have to be really, really on time with it, right? So you'd basically put the dog in a harness and you'd snap really fast to get the dog's attention. Because if you pulled, right? So if the leash and collar are fully extended, the only thing you have left is just, oh, hold on, sorry. Somebody called me. The only thing that you have left is your leash and the dog. So you have full friction there. And then you're just going to drag the dog back and forth.
Okay. So if we're walking and there's another dog coming, let's start with that. What do I look for? And
well, I think you're already doing everything right. I just think the application of the correction is what you're missing. So you're looking for what you've already said that you're looking for. You're looking for it sounds like you've done your research, and that's awesome, because that's half the battle. You don't want to ever correct curiosity, and you've already said that you like that, you appreciate that. You're looking for the build. You're looking for the dog to start hyper-focusing on other dogs in a negative way. You know, so ears up, not looking at anything else, maybe tail straight up, wagging back and forth. But at that point, you're already aware enough, you're already dog aware enough to know that that's not a good build. So what you do is do what you're doing, just correct differently, because that's one of the main problems that people have on so many different levels. And that's why I'm so advocate for tools, because I don't know, I would say definitely more than 60, maybe possibly 70% of dog owners who don't know how to use the equipment properly, or haven't been told, or haven't even watched a video on it, don't use it right. And a lot of times it just doesn't work, but sometimes it just makes things worse, actually. I understand your frustration, because you know you're doing everything right. I think you just have a missing key component, but the missing key component is going to be the difference between it actually working and it not working. Because you could have like a flexi and like a really crappy prong collar, but if you correct it properly, you're going to have more advantages than what you're having now. But you already have the perfect setup for what you're doing. Yeah. So when you come out and you see a dog and you feel that build, what I like to do is put the prong collar kind of on the side. So you'll angle it. So the dogs are usually, like in the dog training world, on the left side when you're handling. So if your dog's on your left side, you don't want to have your prong collar right on top of the head. You want to have it. You want
it is by his ear.
Right. You want to have it right to the side a little bit, kind of angled at you. So you have full advantage.
So what I try to do is pull his head towards me.
Right. But here's the thing is, and it's great. It's a great point, and it makes sense to what you're doing. But in the dog's mind, and this is just take this with a grain of salt. That's the only disadvantage we to be completely honest. The online training that we do is just as effective as in-house training, because if you've watched any of my videos, it's a lot of lecture and it's a lot of just teaching people. But the only disadvantage is I can't see the behavior as it happens. But I would say, you got to think about it in a dog's perspective. If they're out in a walk and this dog reactivity is just a thing, it's what you guys do, and he knows it, you know it, whatever. Maybe the other dog even knows it if they've encountered a couple times. When you come out and you see the other dog, or your dog sees the other dog, you immediately, your first line of defense is to kind of take the leash and pull the dog towards you or get the dog closer to you. And a lot of times that'll preset the dog for locked and loaded. So you're basically taking the safety off when you pull the dog towards you, because you're anticipating a bad reactivity, right? So what you want to do is be very, very binary with it. And that's what I tell people in class, that you want to be good dog or bad dog. And by that, I mean, if you have pressure on the leash at all. So if your elbow goes from a little bit of degree up, all the way up to a 90 degree correction, you're giving pressure to the dog and telling them that they're doing something wrong. So what I like to do is I say only correct the behavior you don't like and make it precise. So don't try to anticipate the reaction by you see a dog, you pull them a little closer. And then because in the dog's mind, you're setting them up. You're already telling them that this is going to be a negative experience. And our ultimate goal as dog owners is to actually get over the behavioral challenges, not just correct it to try to get them away. You know what I mean? So that's our ultimate goal, is to say, I don't even want this to happen. So it's not like a cheat sheet of how do I correct it to make it better. That's going to be your first line of defense, of course.
Right.
But the ultimate goal at the end is to say, I can walk out with a flat collar. I don't even need to correct it, because we've gotten over the behavior. So when you're walking forward, you have to do everything in your power to not preset the dog
Okay.
For a negative experience, because then you're already flipping the switch on.
Okay.
Okay. So think about it in the movies where they have like the secret button, and they always have like a little plastic thing over that secret button, and you flip it up and then you hit the red button, right?
Okay.
So what you're doing is when you see another dog is you're flipping that thing open and you're just waiting to hit the button.
Okay.
Or your dog to hit the button to activate that.
Yeah.
So do the best you can to be very binary with it. It's either good dog or bad dog. So So when you see a dog, try not to change your behavior at all, because that'll preset the dog.
I stand up straight. I don't look at him. I'm not always, you know, sweet talking, real high pitched voice. I don't do any of that. I look ahead. I expect him to follow me. And whatever he's doing, I can feel from the leash. I can feel if he's trying to go a little bit ahead.
Yeah.
But if I don't see something, like say there's a jogger that runs past us, you know, he's reactive to that, and I don't even see it coming, and he's already lunged and he's already got the prong collar fully engaged, what do I do?
Yeah, so that I'm going to get into that in a second, but I just want to start off with what I was talking about before is just that step one is just do the best you can. Again, it sounds like you're doing everything right, which is awesome, but just make sure that you're not doing that because that'll be the first step to him starting to build. So do the best you can, because your leash is your pipeline of communication. So the leash doesn't always mean, okay, I'm going to put a rope in my dog and we're going to go out for a walk so they can poop and pee and they're back in. The leash is actually just your line. I mean, that's your connection between you and the dog. You can, don't be afraid. You know, I tell people all the time, don't be afraid to have the leash on in the house, have the leash on in the car. It's your communication line to talk to the dog. So it's like the old little cups that you put the wire on that they used to do, and they put their ear up. That's exactly what it's like. So when you're out, so going forward, when you get that reactivity, and that's exactly what I was talking about, is so many people, when it happens fast. It's like over in a second, sometimes not, but it just comes and it goes. But you have to try to be in the moment and really try to figure out what's happening. And so, again, the mechanics of the prong collar are very simple. Once it's fully extended, your correction's over. So once it's pop, 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 done. So once it's at the, like you did before when you pulled it all the way out, there's no more correction you can provide. And with your dog having a thick coat or even two coats, it's not going to do anything when it's fully extended.
Yeah. Should I make it a little bit bigger?
No, that's not going to do anything. What you want to do is you have to work on your correction. So you have to be precise. And this is something that you have to practice. Again, like I did a video on it where I showed people how to do it on a chair, where I just put a chair out. I hooked my leash up to it. And again, here's what I want you to picture. Okay. So going back to the harness correction, is when the dog is at the end, and I say harness because a lot of people can relate to that. It's very clear to them. Okay, you put a leash on a harness, and then the dog moves forward, and your leash is fully extended, and then they do something you don't like. The only thing you can do is drag them backwards, right? So if you corrected the dog and your equipment's fully extended, and when you do your correction, you're trying to pop the dog at the end of the leash. You have no room to pop. You're fully tight. So all you're going to do is pull the dog back. And in the animal kingdom, a lot of times if dogs are upset or frustrated or even excited, right? So say I took a puppy and I held it and there's a puppy at the other end of the room. That's going to build the dog up and they're going to launch forward like some sort of supercharged car, right? So that's kind of what you're doing on a other end of the spectrum where it's a negative situation. Is, and again, you don't mean it. So the prong collar becomes fully extended. The harness, the flat collar, whatever, comes fully extended to your leash, and you try to correct your dog, but your dog's already fully extended. There's no more slack. So what you want to do is you want to almost move your hand forward to try to gain some leash. So if you have a little dip in your leash, that means you have an opportunity to correct your dog, and then you pop and you'd say leave it.
Yeah.
The ultimate goal would be for you to not let your dog get fully extended. So when you're out, instead of doing that little pull, like click, 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 kind of you're adding pressure, because that'll also too, because the prong collar, just like any other collar besides the flat collar, which the flat collar is only good for holding dog tags anyway. It's actually a really unsafe collar to use when you're out in your walks.
Never use.
Right. But any collar that you use that has some sort of pressure, martingale, slip, dominant dog collar, whatever, once it's, again, once it's fully extended, you don't have any opportunity to correct the dog at all, that you just keep pulling them backwards, pulling them backwards. So you have to pop it. So instead of anticipating and setting the dog up by click, 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 pulling them tight, watch your build. If you get something that you don't like, quickly pop them as fast as you possibly can. If it's a 10-year-old can do this better than a lot of people, because we overthink it. We overthink it. You just have to be fast. You don't have to be big and strong.
And play video games. That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But what you want to do is you want to make sure that you're with the prong collar. It has an opportunity to correct the dog safely. And it's one of the safest tools you can use, and it makes it really clear. So I'd rather correct a dog once or twice on an hour walk than habitually yell at my dog over and over and over again with something else that doesn't have a clear picture. So when you do that pop, you want it to be very, very fast, very attention getting, because you got to think the dog starts building, and all of a sudden you don't become anything. You don't become the owner. You don't become anything. You just are there. Like, the dog's like, why are you here? Just let me go. Mm-hmm. So you have to make sure that you're snapping your dog out of that trance that they get into, because that's what it is. I mean, think about it when you watch National Geographic and you see a cheetah watching, some sort of livestock or something. They are hyper focused.
That's what it's like.
Right. And you need to be able to go in and go wham and just snap the dog out of it and then say heel or leave it. But the important part that I'm trying to get across is if your correction isn't a correction, it's not going to work. And that sounds silly, but again, you're not utilizing the prong collar as intended. And so I want you to, again, be very hot and cold with it. So if he's not doing anything and he's curious, good boy, good heel, whatever you do. And then as soon as you get a negative build, you pop that collar as fast as you can sideways to break him of that behavior. And then you use your verbal marker to say, leave it.
Right.
Okay. Because again, as dog trainers and handlers, our end goal, besides getting over the behavior completely, is sending a clear message to the dog that what they're doing is not acceptable, although they may want to do it because it's in their breed, or it's in, you know, like a herding dog, or, I have dogs myself, personal dogs, that just don't like other dogs. They're done. They don't like them. They won't actively go after them. But if a dog comes up to them or gets in their vicinity, they will definitely try to kill the dog. That's a that's not a training thing, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's a dog just making a decision to say, I don't like dogs anymore. I want my personal space. If I don't know them, I don't want them in my space. I respect that. And so you have to just make sure that when you get a build, you have to pop them out of that and say, okay, leave it.
Okay.
Even if the dog is never going to say, okay, I'll stop. I don't want to do this. So the expectation of correcting a dog to try to get rid of the behavior is not likely, but it's something that we are trying to accomplish. But in your case, if you get a super high focused, prey driven dog that sees other dogs and just loses it, all you're really asking is for the dog to cooperate on the leash and not be a jerk.
I don't expect him to be as playful as Cisco. That's just not his personality. Mm-hmm. but things that I just don't really, things that he can do well. He can go to a groomer, no problem. Always other dogs around. We can go to PetSmart, no problem. Mm-hmm. We can go to Bass Pro. Bass Pro sometimes has more dogs than PetSmart. Mm-hmm. And, no problem there.
Where are you from?
Well, I live in Cincinnati, from Atlanta, Georgia, but that's cool. Where I live. So I can take him to Bass Pro. I mean, they're very, very dog friendly employees. They have treats. I let them give him treats because he can do a lot of tricks and stuff. So I let him do that. let's see, where else can he go? And I've taken a grooming class at a local vocational school. No problems there. And I cannot understand how I can walk into a room and there are other dogs there and there are some reactive dogs there. This other dog class that I was trying to go to for rally, this instructor allowed bad behavior from other dogs. Ranger always got blamed because he was the biggest and he was the loudest. So these little bitty dogs that were, if they were 80 pounds like Ranger,
it'd be a big deal.
Yeah, and they, you know, so anyway, I just got him, I've just changed. I've been going, I've taken both my dogs to classes since they're 8 weeks old, so it's not like I haven't tried, but these are not people that know a lot about dog behavior, because this one woman, her answer to it was to do that dominant dog thing where you make the dog go down and you lay on top of it. Yeah. I don't do that.
No,
I have to do it during class, but I don't
dangerous.
Want my I don't want my dog to see another dog coming and think, oh, great, now she's going to throw me on the ground.
Yeah, that's silly.
That is.
Well, it's to me, it's dangerous. I would never do that unless I absolutely had to. But to suggest that to your clients, to suplex your dog and go into WrestleMania every time they saw another dog is just – but you know what? It's I'm glad that you mentioned that, because it what I try to provide is very simple to dog training. Because I want to do what makes sense to you. And I've had clients come in and they said, my old trainer told me to bite my dog on the nose, or to bite him on the cheek, or bark at them in their face. And I'm looking at them and they're laughing, you know, and they're like, yeah, it's true. They said that. And I said, does that make sense to you? They go, no, I was afraid to get bit. And I said, well, then don't, you did the right decision. Just kind of drop it and move away if it doesn't make sense. But anyway, yes. So moving forward, I want you to make sure, because you can have everything set up properly, but if you don't use that collar correctly, it'll never work.
Okay.
And so you need to be able to pop it. So you can, again, look at that video that I put out. I want to say it was not the last. So I have, if you go on my YouTube channel, I have one upload it's basically an online session like this. And
is
then
it in January?
Yeah. I mean, it was probably late last week I uploaded it. I usually do like two a week, but I have one that's an online thing. And then I have another one. And at the end of that session, I explain actually how to do the correction properly. And it's again, and it's the difference between the dog being pulled away. Cause that's what you're doing, is you're basically tightening up your leash and you're just pulling the dog away. And you would think, and that's the reason why you do it, is because you're like, yeah, but the prongs are very small, very rounded, and your dog has a thick coat, so it doesn't do anything. So what you want to do is you want to use those prongs to snap your dog's attention away from that, to disengage them before they hit a certain zone that it's uncontrollable.
So I should start doing that sooner than I'm doing it.
Well, again, you got to be careful that you want your dog to get over these things. So there's a fine line between curiosity and reactivity. So just make sure that you're not correcting for, hey, who are you? Wham. Oh, okay, cool. Because again, the ultimate goal is for your dog to get over it. But what I would suggest is, if you can get around another dog that's stable or balanced enough, that's just going to hang out and not do anything with their owner and just sit there, you can really work on it that way. Where you can read the dog's behavior. The nose going, the nose sniffing in the air, those are all good things. Good boy, reward that. And then as soon as you get that, you know,
when you say reward, you talking? I mean, I've cut way, way back on my treats.
No. So a reward, right? I'm rewarding my dogs right now. They're both, well, two of them, two out of the three are behind me. They're getting rewarded because they're in the same room with me. They love me to death, as all dogs do to their owners.
So him just laying here by my side.
Yeah, he loves that. Don't think that. See, and that's the problem with where we're at right now in dog training. And to be honest, the only reason why I'm super frustrated with it is dogs are dying because of it. And a reward doesn't have to be a piece of steak or chicken. A reward is just telling, in your case, what I was applying to is, good, leave it. That's it. When you look at your dog, there's chemicals in their brain that makes them happy, and you don't have to give. And that's why I tell my clients when they're new into the training program, I say, okay, reward your dog, and they go running to their treat pouch, and I'm like, I said, okay, yeah, you're not wrong, but you don't have to give your dog food to reward them. Look at them, pat them on the head, and say good job, and move on. You don't have to give them all these different things.
Okay.
So on my end, it says that there's a poor connection. I'm on Wi-Fi, so I don't know if anything changed, but that's okay.
No, I can see you fine.
Perfect. That's all that matters. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, so don't think that you have to give your dog food. You can reward them without food. You can just say, so again, if your dog knows really clearly, and it sounds like you've done a pretty good job at doing everything, to be honest, I'm really happy with that. If your dog knows really clearly like what leave it means or what heal means, and you get into a situation where there's another dog, where normally or typically there's a conflict, and you say good, leave it, your dog's going to go, okay, good means, so a good is a reinforcer for anything. So if you say good, and it's really about the tone that you do. So you can say good, or you can literally say bad dog, and they're going to get excited. So the way that you do it is reinforcing, so they know that that's a positive thing. So if you look at your dog and go, Ranger, they're going to get really excited, right? And they're going to say, oh, this is going to be great. So when you reinforce with good, and then you say leave it, and they know what leave it means, or they know what heal means, they're going to say, okay, I've done this behavior good. Because if you said like bad or a negative, like bad heal or leave it, and you got really stern with it, then the dog is going to know that they're being punished because they go off tone. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
So anyway, when you're passing through, you can just, if your dog doesn't react, you can say, good, leave it. And you don't have to overdo it. So don't, you know, take this with a grain of salt. I'm just giving you some opportunities to reward your dogs without food. Just say, good, leave it, and just keep moving. So it's some sort of positive reinforcement. Okay, so when you talk about reinforcement is to try to keep that around. You're trying to capture that behavior. You want that to stick. And so when you say good, that's positive, because you can do negative reinforcement as well. But in this case, positive reinforcement over the behavior that you want is going to give you a better opportunity for that behavior to stick around. And the dog is going to go, okay, great. So when I walk past dogs and I don't do this, I get a good from my handler, my mom. I love that. You know, she's my best friend ever. But then as soon as I act this way, I get all this bad stuff. I get leave it. So I get a negative reinforcer over bad behavior with the negative tone. And the dogs don't like that. Again, if you came into your room and you said, who's a bad boy? Or even if you said, who's a good girl? Or who's a whatever? In the type of way that you do it is going to dictate what you mean. And so the dog will ultimately know, okay, this is good, this is bad. And you have to be very binary with it to keep your communication on point.
Okay.
So that's what I would start doing is practicing your corrections and have a clearer state of mind going into it, and trying to get around some dogs that can be kind of demo dogs that you know your dogs are going to react to, that aren't going to react back, and you can spend some time around.
Okay. Now I really think that you are going to be like an up and coming YouTube person, and I hope that if you get attention or offers, that it doesn't change what you're doing, because what you're doing makes sense.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. And that's why I started that YouTube, is I said, I'm just going to put a camera in the room and just do a session. And the more people watched it, they were like, I can follow this. This makes sense. And I appreciate that very much. And that's what mm-hmm. I try to convey, is I don't try to confuse people. I can sit down and talk to a professional dog trainer and use all these fancy words that a lot of other people wouldn't understand, but that's not what I do. And I was a dog owner first, before I got into dog training, and I naturally got into, I never wanted to work with dogs professionally. It was just something that I was naturally, it was all natural to me. And then once I realized that dogs were dying for the things that I could easily help them with, is when I got into it.
Well, I think you, excuse me, my voice is just not right, but I really think that you are one of those people that doesn't work a day in their life because you love what you do.
Yeah, I do.
It's not work. And that shows. And
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm glad that comes through, because
it does. And, you know, I'm just letting you know, if you ever, you just may not get, you know, I don't know who gives you feedback. I don't know what kind of feedback you get from what my daughter calls trolls on YouTube. So
They're out there. Yeah, they're out there. Well, I appreciate it very much. And now I'm going to keep doing it. I mean, I get a lot of feedback, good feedback. And I appreciate everybody that takes their time to say, hey, keep doing it. Because for me, that's ammunition for me at the end of the day, where I'm like, you know, if I'm tired or I'm sick, or I'm like, people don't really want to see this. you know, it really does make a difference, because there's been a lot of times where that, you know, the same thing that I get where you're like, hey, it makes a difference. I have comments, people send me messages and emails. They're like, hey, you literally have saved my dog's life from that mm-hmm. one video I did like 2 years ago that I have never thought about again. So yeah, it's really, really nice to hear. And it gives me a lot of ammunition to continue to do what I do. Thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. I hope that it was informative. I hope you learned something. More importantly, I hope it helps you help your dog. And if you did, let me know. Give me some feedback. And as mentioned in this podcast, I run off of ammunition from you guys. I mean, I'm always going to do this, but the more feedback I get from you guys as a community, the more I can learn and do things that you guys want to see that's going to benefit from you guys. So if you haven't yet, subscribe to my YouTube channel. It's just search Upstate Canine Academy on YouTube. Hit subscribe. Make sure you turn on the little bell that gives you a notification when I upload. We're doing about 2 uploads a week on a bunch of different great stuff. And of course, you can follow me here on the No Bad Dogs podcast. And you can follow me on Instagram at Tom Davis, and then my business at Upstate Canine Academy on Instagram. And on Facebook, it'll be America's Canine Educator. So thank you guys so very much. And again, give me some feedback. Let me know what you guys think. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.